The world's economies run on their supply chains. Understanding them is the key to keeping global products moving. Welcome to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane, a series of business podcasts co-produced by the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Exchange. In this series of episodes, we look at the state of logistics. Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is brought to you by HERE Technologies. Accelerate your supply chain operations with location intelligence. Find out more at HERE.com. That's HERE.com. In this episode, we focus on the rail freight industry. What will it take to get back on track? Here now is your moderator, Supply Chain Exchange's Executive Editor, Susan Lacefield.
Hello, and welcome to our continuing series of podcasts looking at the state of logistics. Our guest today is James Scheffelbein, who is the Executive Vice President at PLG Consulting. Today, we're going to be taking a closer look at the rail sector, and James is an excellent person to serve as our guide because he has a deep knowledge and understanding of the rail sector, not just from his time at PLG, but also from his previous jobs at GE Transportation, Rail America, and CSX. James, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Susan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So why don't we start by looking back at 2023? The State of Logistics report from CSCMP said that last year was a very difficult one for the rail industry, and they characterized it by having financial pressures, labor shortages, and safety concerns. Do you think this is a fair assessment?
I do. I really think 2023 was a challenging year for all Class 1 railroads, and particularly U.S. Class 1's railroad. What struck me about the CSCMP report was really that it was really pretty gloomy and painted a rather challenging picture for Class 1's moving forward.
Do you think that's a fair assessment? Is it a gloomy outlook for railroads in the future?
I do believe that. The models really don't offer a positive outlook for rail volume growth in 2024 or early 2025, just because a lot of the dynamics that were created around the pandemic and the supply chain challenges that came along with that have been overcome. And there's been some pretty dramatic shifts in other modes and the availability of other modes to transport goods. So the rails are really working on the CSCMP report calls a myriad of influences that are driving their current performance. What I do think many analysts and the railroads aren't reporting, just because of the nature of how they engage with the investment community, is they're not identifying or talking about the impact of the seismic loss of coal volumes over the last 16 years. It looks like this year they will be less than 3.5 million carloads. And what that causes is a dramatic loss of highly profitable, highly efficient business that's very difficult for them to replace with other commodities or other product offerings. So not only are the railroads facing an unpromising economic outlook, they're having to make up for this loss of highly profitable, high volume, efficient coal traffic.
So where can they look to for maybe some growth opportunities?
Well, one of the segments that the Class 1s have identified as a growth opportunity is certainly intermodal. And that's true. Intermodal is a growth opportunity for them. So in June, they reported about an 8.7% volume growth for the month over 2023. But even those numbers don't get them back to pre-pandemic levels. So the growth opportunity for the Class 1s is primarily in intermodal. And to address that market, they're going to have to go after traffic that typically wasn't in their market mix. They're going to have to target traffic or intermodal traffic that is single line, or in other words, just moves on one railroad, and is between 700 and 1,500 miles. And that's a fairly sizable market for trucks right now. And it gives railroads the opportunity to add a significant amount of additional intermodal volume to their portfolio.
Right. Is the current downtrend in the trucking market affecting how well they can penetrate that intermodal market? Because truck rates are pretty low right now.
It certainly is, and that's a good point. You can only convert truck traffic to intermodal by price, and it's difficult to compete with trucks when they're also suffering from a contracting market and using price to maintain their market share.
How likely do you feel that rail will be able to reclaim some of the volumes that they lost due to the coal traffic? Do you think they'll be able to come back to where they to having the volumes that they used to have?
I think they're going to have to think less about volume and more about market share and profitability, because they'll never, never be able to replace carload for carload the coal volumes they lost. They're going to have to overcome some very negative perceptions about shipping rail compared to truck. They're going to have to show a long-term commitment to their shippers and the markets that their shippers participate in, and they're going to have to present long-term strategies that show that they're invested for the long haul.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. So what advice do you have for shippers in terms of the rail market and where it's heading into the second half of the year?
So what we're telling our clients is take advantage of this time after all of the pandemic volatility in the supply chain and supply chain industry, and start looking at your transportation rates holistically. In other words, look at truck, look at marine transportation, and mostly look at rail transportation, and start understanding the trade-offs that you can take in the marketplace to decrease your overall transportation costs. Now's the time to start looking at modal shifts. Railroads may be more hungry for traffic that they didn't want to haul during 2020 and recent years, and take advantage of a contracting truck market and find opportunities to use reduced truck rates. Again, we recommend our clients start early, at least a year in advance of major contracts expiring, and start understanding the value of making modal trade-offs between the different modes.
Are a lot of your customers making those trade-offs?
Certainly, certainly. And there's a lot of negotiating tactics that our customers are using right now. Now's an opportunity for them to look at extending term of contracts or using Rule 11 rates in the rail market space and adjusting their price escalators. Railroads may be more have more of an appetite now to commit to long-term contracts with fixed indices, much more so than they were in the previous 2 or 3 years.
So it sounds like it's a really a shipper's market right now.
It certainly is, both in the truck and rail segments of the supply chain industry.
Well, great. James, thanks so much for lending us your expert insight today. Once again, we have been speaking with James Scheffelbein of PLG Consulting. I am Susan Lacefield, and you have been listening to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane.
Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is a co-production of the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Exchange. This episode has been brought to you by Here Technologies. Accelerate your supply chain operations with location intelligence. Find out more at here.com. That's HERE.com. Please subscribe to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane wherever you get your podcasts.